Today, we will read Mark chapter 15, verses 25 through 47. Before we begin, let's pray. Lord, I pray that you would speak to our hearts. Lord, help us to see and understand clearly. Help us to see you in a new way and to understand more about who you are. Lord, help us to apply this to our lives today. Lord, as we read about your sacrifice, we thank you. And we pray that you would make it real to us, that we would understand what you went through for us. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Mark chapter 15, verses 25 through 47. It was 9 in the morning when they crucified him. The written notice of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." They crucified two rebels with him, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, "So, you who were going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, come down from the cross and save yourself." In the same way, the chief priests and the teachers of the law mocked him among themselves. "He saved others," they said, "but he can't save himself. Let this Messiah, this King of Israel, come down now from the cross, that we may see and believe." Those crucified with him also heaped insults on him. At noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon. And at 3 in the afternoon, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of those standing near heard this, they said, "Listen, he is calling Elijah." Someone ran, filled a sponge with wine vinegar, put it on a staff, and offered it to Jesus to drink. "Now, leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to take him down," he said. With a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last. The curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And when the centurion, who stood there in front of Jesus, saw how he died, he said, "Surely this man was the Son of God." Some women were watching from a distance. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James the younger, and of Joseph, and Salome. In Galilee, these women had followed him and cared for his needs. Many other women who had come up with him to Jerusalem were also there. It was the preparation day, that is, the day before the Sabbath. So, as evening approached, Joseph of Arimathea, a prominent member of the council, who was himself waiting for the kingdom of God, went boldly to Pilate and asked for Jesus' body. Pilate was surprised to hear that he was already dead. Summoning the centurion, he asked him if Jesus had already died. When he learned from the centurion that it was so, he gave the body to Joseph. So Joseph brought some linen cloth, took down the body, wrapped it in the linen, and placed it in the tomb cut out of the rock. Then he rolled a stone against the entrance of the tomb. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, saw where he was laid. All right. In today's reading, we see the death of Jesus. He was taken, put through a phony trial in the middle of the night, convicted, and crucified. 9 in the morning, he was put on the cross, nailed to the cross, nails going through his hands and his feet. Then he was lifted up, and he hung there for hours, waiting, suffering. Scientists and doctors that look at crucifixion report that it is very, very, very painful, very difficult. One of the most difficult, painful, horrible forms of execution that has ever existed. And it is designed to make the person suffer for as long as possible. It's not a quick taking off your head and it's over quickly. It lingers. It lasts a long time. Some people hung on the cross for days before they finally died. And so this was a very difficult, painful death. But Jesus went through it. Now, throughout the time, people were mocking him, saying, "Oh, you saved others, save yourself," and making fun of him. What they didn't understand was that he was giving himself. People were not taking his life. Jesus was giving it as a sacrifice for us. And so, while he hung there, they mocked him. They made fun of him. They insulted him. And he endured it. At about noon, darkness came over everything. The sky turned dark. And Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" This was a very difficult time for Jesus. That not only was it difficult physically, but spiritually it was difficult. He had always maintained such a close relationship and connection to God the Father, yet here he was separated. He felt what it was like to be separated from God the Father, and it was so difficult and painful. Not only was it physically painful, but emotionally painful as well. Finally, he breathes his last. And what is interesting is that when Jesus dies, the curtain in the temple is torn in two. And it says it's torn in two from top to bottom. Now, before Jesus, and we saw this in Matthew, but again, just if you haven't listened to that part, or if you have forgotten, when Jesus died, the temple, the curtain, ripped. Now, what is this? Well, before Jesus, the way in which people came before God was that the common people could not come before God. They had to go through a priest. A priest, the high priest, one single priest, was allowed to go into the most holy place where the altar of God was. There they would present the sacrifice, and they would present this for the people. And before he went in, he had to cleanse himself, purify himself, sacrifice for his own sins, so that he could be pure and holy and stand before God. A normal person couldn't go in there, they would die. And so only the high priest could go in there. But with Jesus, that changed. God himself ripped it. He tore this curtain that had always separated people from God, that had always separated men from going before God. The temple was torn from the top, from God's side, all the way to the bottom. It was a symbol that Jesus had paid the price, Jesus had torn the thing that separated us from God apart. Symbolically, or the deeper meaning, that just like this temple was torn, the curtain in the temple was torn, the sin that separates us from God was torn in two. It, through Jesus, it no longer separates us from God. Through Jesus, I can go before God. And that is such an incredible blessing, that Jesus is my way to God. And only Jesus, he gave himself to bring us back to God. What an incredible love that he had to do this. But he knew it was the only way, that we could not get back to God on our own. God had to come to us. God had to give himself for us so that we can go back to God. There is no other way. And so Jesus died. One of his followers asks for his body. They take it down. He wraps him and puts him in the tomb. And they think it's the end. They have forgotten. But it's not the end. There is still more to the story. Because even though Jesus died, and even though he was buried, he did not stay there. And that's what's exciting about the next chapter. He comes back. Because he is God himself. Jesus is stronger than death. He himself is life. And he offers that life to you. We as people have sinned. We have broken God's laws. We have sinned. And the shame and the defilement, the dirtiness that sin creates in us, separates us from the holy God. And there is nothing that we can do to remove that shame, to remove that dirt, the way that we are defiled, that we are filthy. We can't take care of it. But Jesus did. He died on the cross to take care of our sin. His sacrifice buys my pardon. His sacrifice cleans me and makes me right with God. What about you? Have you accepted that sacrifice? It's there. God is longing for you. God wants you to come to him if you will just believe. Repent of your sins and trust Jesus alone to pay the penalty for your sins. You too can have access to God through Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you that we can access God through you. I thank you that you gave yourself for us, that we might know God, that my sins might be forgiven. I don't deserve it, but I am so thankful. Lord, I pray that if there is anyone who does not know you, that they would believe, that they would turn from their sin and follow you alone. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.